What's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Monday, July the 4th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live. That's right, live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you on today. That's right. Happy 4th of July. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother in ministry, Pastor Devon. I'm going to put some emphasis on your name. Pastor Devon Winder. You need to have like a third behind that. It'll be real powerful, man. You need to be like, we'll just give you one, the third.
The third.
What's going on, Doc? Are you tanned up though? What's going
Not
on?
Not much, man. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Blessed. Everything is awesome. It's good, man. Ain't too hot. Ain't too muggy, and it's good.
Perfect.
Man, it's a good day. Good day to light a grill, ain't it? But man, we got this great show. Three truths about outreaches most churches do not understand. This is good. It is Missional Monday, so we always try to give you something constructive about the missionary work that should be done by the church. And when we think missionary work or being missional, it's not always about going overseas.
Exactly.
Not always about going overseas. So that should be good stuff, man. So let me give you guys a rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the phone, you've already dialed in. We appreciate you. If you've already dialed in, just push 1. You can ask your questions and be a part of the show with your questions and or comments. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. And you, too, can be a part of the show with your questions and or comments. You want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to have you be a part of the show with your email and or concerns. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We'd love to have you be a part as well. If you want to tweet the show, real simple, Twitter, @TTLO Radio. Again, go to Twitter and you can find us @TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Ustream is up and running. We are live on Ustream. That's me. That's the brother over there. We are in here live in the studio, Ustream.tv, and then do a search for the channel, Taking the Limits Off with Dan and Devon. And last but not least, and there's the siren, last but not least, you can follow us on iTunes. You can download the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast. Guess what? It only costs you nothing. It's free. Free 99, as I like to say. But you can find us on iTunes. Just simply do a search for the channel or the podcast, rather, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. I may be on Facebook Live a little bit later. I haven't decided yet. But anyway, man, what's going on, Doc?
Nothing much, man. What's going on?
I know it's a mouthful, right? Nothing, Doc, but you know, something came to mind when I was driving in. Which way did you come in? Were you already over here? Were you driving in?
No, I was in. I was towards North Avenue.
Okay. Way. So you didn't come in via
290? I came in my normal way.
Oh.
I just hit it.
But you didn't get off on Central.
Yeah, I got off on Central,
okay,
and then I went up.
Okay,
yeah.
So you remember the memorial? You remember our Memorial Day show, right?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that came up, and you brought it up to me, and I didn't pay any attention to it, was how empty the parks were on Memorial Day, Columbus Park. I mainly being in Columbus Park. It was like, I mean, there wasn't a tent, a grill out or anything. Even when I went home that day, I went back that way just to check, and it was still empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on today, good news. I mean, it's despite everything that's going on, man, there was grills out.
Yeah,
kids was already out, and I counted like 8 tents, and then I saw people still putting up tents.
Yeah. When I rode past earlier,
yeah,
I think it was about 3 families that had been out there.
Oh, they out there now.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they. I'm like, oh, this is good. Has some music going, and then I saw a real big tent. Looked like somebody like actually rented one, the kind where you have to set the post up yourself and then pull the tarp across to hold about maybe about 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is good. This is, man, take your city back. I love it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I'm like, that's
kind of late in the day to be barbecuing.
What? No, I mean, what time is it? What, noon? I mean,
it's noon.
Well, I guess you figure if they,
I barbecued at 6 this morning.
Oh, so you was out there that early.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Get it out of the way.
Well, bless him. Bless
him. Say what?
Well, bless him.
That's I was wonderful. Done at 7:30.
Oh, no. See, I just... did you have a lot to cook or no?
Huh? 3 slabs.
Okay, so what did it look like?
Lots. Wings.
Okay, got you.
Sausages. So.
I mean, you're getting up at 6 o'clock. Like, I'm thinking, bro, finna say I cooked about 2 cases.
Man.
I'm thinking 6 o'clock in the morning?
Huh?
6 o'clock?
Yeah. I mean, it's a full day, and so.
Well, my mom normally does that. Well, if my mom would be cooking, she would normally get up super early and be out there cooking, too. But I'm like.
Get it up.
Yeah.
I say you get started.
It, you know what, back in the when I used to be cooking back in the day when I would cook, I would get out there about 10 because I didn't mind because I figured if I got out there about 10 and on the rare occasion that I had people over, you know, it'd be food would be done by like 3.
About 3, yeah.
So, you know, which is cool. But, yeah, I that's, man, 6 o'clock. And I'm trying to think when was the last time I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to barbecue. And if it was, I was coming down to this here church to help barbecue because I don't know for a fact
that.
Did
they start that early?
Oh, that, yeah, the good deacon, you know.
Event.
You know, he wants smoke going at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, I don't blame him. Let's get it out of the way.
That's a little bit too early for the brother.
That's too early.
Yeah. That's too early for me.
It's like, man, I don't know how to pull this off. I crashed at about 12, a little later after 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Alarm was set. I think I set it for 5:45. Hey, it's time to get up, man, and, you know, bless the Lord and get started.
Well, bless your ministry. I don't know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
6:30, I was calling. I was speaking in tongues and like that. That's how I was.
The angels of men.
No, about 6:30, I was knocked out, bro. I ain't know nothing.
Wow.
I ain't know nothing. So how were things yesterday at the NOC?
Oh, man.
You still on sabbatical or did you finally get the people to work? It is July.
Yeah, I made my return.
Okay, I was about to say, because in a minute.
Another week would have been nice.
Start calling you the absentee pastor in a minute, just there for the, you know.
Wow. Yeah, man, it was exciting.
Okay.
I would say that it was totally out of the box.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They did not see it coming.
Uh-oh.
They didn't see it coming. And so on this quest, as I spent the last couple of weeks just really, you know, just really reading and absorbing material as it relates to where we are and moving forward as God began to speak some things to me. And so we went in yesterday
mm-hmm.
and started talking about the revitalization sort of plan that we're a part of, letting them know we're a part of a revitalization process
okay.
as well as a replant process. And so but with that, I'm diving into what I would like to call the philosophy of Christ.
Oh, wow.
And so,
that sounds like you asking for a fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you use Christ and philosophy
yeah.
in the same sentence.
Yeah. 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 And,
for those of you who don't know, that's you have some people just so you to give you guys a little background, And Devon can attest to this. Anybody who's ever been to any type of theology training, any type of Christian education,
right.
The one thing they will always tell you is that philosophy and Bible do not mix.
Yeah, that's what they would tell you.
That's what they would tell you, that philosophy and Bible do not mix. Because, see, philosophy relies more on man than
yeah.
it does on faith. So that's
yeah.
why there's always a disconnect. However,
yeah. However.
If you study the word... Okay, go ahead. I'm just
yeah, you in there. You in there. And so here's what I say.
Yes.
I say that you cannot arrive at some sort of philosophy unless there is a psychology.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right? And so with there being this specific psychology,
mm-hmm.
there are belief systems. There are such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to – and I basically started with – God's standard versus society's standard.
Okay.
And so what I was doing was I was painting a picture because we're a church that's replanting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so because we're a church that's replanting, even on my drive home after ministering to the people, I asked the question from the text. I say, Jesus, first of all, wanted the people to know that God wasn't concerned whether you were poor or rich. He was concerned about your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Jesus talks about the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a difference. People were treated differently in society based off of, you know, prestige and what they had and what they did not have. And I said, now, if we continue to read the Gospels, now Jesus has to go in and change the philosophy of man's practice of God's law.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How does he do that? He does that simply by saying, it has been said to you. What is Christ doing? He's changing the philosophy and the psychology of how we do things. And so I said, now, what we don't understand is Christ is replanting a spiritual Israel versus the original Israel.
Okay.
I said, now, how is it that Christ is teaching us how to pray when there were men before Christ who prayed? Have you ever asked the question, why is Christ teaching people how to pray when people were already praying before he showed on the scene?
Mm-hmm.
God is replanting the hearts of people in him for real.
Because they already had a prayer life. They just weren't praying to the Father. So they did because think about it, they worshiped idols. They worshiped sun gods. They worshiped gods in the mountain, i.e., you know, I would look to the hills from which cometh my help. But I just like to throw that out there. But but they did. They worshiped the god of the mountain. They worshiped the god of the cave. They worshiped the water gods. They worshiped all these different gods: god of light, god of dark. And Jesus was like, okay, let me y'all pray, but let me tell y'all who to pray to. And how you should pray.
Yeah. And so when you see that, we see that God is, Christ comes on the scene to not only save mankind, but the other part of that process is Christ has to replant us for real. So he has to take out all of the old.
Pull
you up like a tree.
Yeah.
Pull you up out of the old soil. Put in some new soil and put you down in all of the branches and leaves and everything that is dead on that tree. He snips it off.
Yeah.
And places you back in some soil that will cause life to grow through a dead plant.
Fresh ground.
You know what I mean?
Fresh ground.
And so how does he do that? He has to start with what they know already to pull out all of the old foolishness.
Yeah.
So he goes in and he says, look, I know that people pray, but the biggest problem is that people have been praying in public for so long because they want public notoriety that nobody has decided to enter into a private and personal, intimate a section of prayer with me.
Come on now.
And so come he says, now. Look, now we got to go back to the basics. We got to do this thing behind closed doors. And I said, now we see that part. That means that Christ wants each and every one of us to have a personal relationship with God for real. And then as we look and we move towards the New Testament in the book of Acts, we see that not only was it personal, but it was community. It was among the fellowship of people. And so I said, on today, here's what we're going to do. And because we're trying to replant our roots for real, and we want to do this in a way where God, we're saying, listen, God, we want you to show up. I had everybody to partner up, take about 10 to 15 minutes. This is doing sermon. After, towards the end of the sermon part says, I asked four questions.
Yeah.
You write it down on a piece of paper. The first question was, what is Christ doing in your life? The second question is, what is your most urgent prayer need?
Yeah.
And then after that, the person that you are partnering with today, you're going to ask them to pray for you, right? And then after that, you're going to do one last thing for me, and you're going to be able to tell the person that you're looking directly across from what your next step in Christ is.
That's good.
And so we partner up. I partner up with one of the elders, and, man, we spent the next 10 to 15 minutes, and people began to pour into each other and share and confess things, and I saw people praying. Me and the elder finished up before everybody else, but it was amazing to see, and people had been calling my phone saying, this was a fresh breeze.
Yeah. See?
You know, this was God for real, and I got a chance to really pour out. And I said, here's a couple of things that are going to happen. We're building a culture of people who know how to pray. Now, when people, when you show up or when you go somewhere, you're going to know how to engage people in simple conversation. And one of the things you're going to remember from this experience is that you're going to ask people, what do they need to be prayed for?
That's wonderful. I love that. That's
man,
good stuff.
It's you know, and you know, even in the drive here, my wife was talking about it. She was like, it blessed me, man. And it really blessed me. And I was able to share even with her, you know, some things that were happening. And I said to her, look, I can see for myself what Christ is doing in your life.
Right.
I can see this. You know, when people, it's different you telling people what Christ is doing in your life, but it's different when somebody else can come up to you and say, look, I see Christ doing this in your life. She was like, wow, that's amazing. I never looked at it like that. So, you know.
One of the things that you said that got me right off the bat was the fact that people recognized that it was something different.
Yeah.
And that it stuck with people because see, you can do stuff all the time and if it's not relevant to them, it's never going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, because that's man.
I love it because as I've been poured into these last couple of weeks,
yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
You know, as God began to, as you know, taking these reading materials and really soaking it up and getting what I need to get to grow, because that's important for me, is that I can't go back and help a group of people to grow when I'm not growing myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
Talk about it.
That's important for me to grow and mature in my role as I lead people, is that I can never get to a place where I say I've arrived. And so I know that there's an urgent need for me to continue to. And you know what I told them? I said, here's what I need you to pray for me. Here's what I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray that God keeps me humble.
Yeah.
And I said, I want you to continue to pray also that God will not allow any temptation that comes my way to cause me to fall.
Wow.
I said, I want you to pray that for me.
Now that's I mean, but you see, that's you being humble enough to recognize that the time is going to come where you're going to mess up something.
Mm-hmm.
And if your people are actively praying for you, if the time comes that you do mess up, that you do slip, that you do fall, they'll recognize, okay, we're in prayer for him. So before they judge you, they'll already be in prayer for you.
Yes, sir.
And it's less likely that they will judge you as harshly if they were already praying for you. The reason we quit so quick to judge folk and to jump on them when they fall is because we don't pray for people. See, if I'm praying for you, watch this. If I'm already praying for you, if you fall, then I'm not going to be so quick to judge you. But if I never send up a prayer for you,
wow,
the minute you mess up, I told y'all he wasn't that.
Wow.
I told y'all he was garbage. I told you he was this. But because we don't pray for people, it's easy to sit back and go, see what I told you.
Wow.
But if I'm praying for you and something happens, whether it's a mistake, whatever it is,
yeah,
because I have a prayer life and because I'm praying for you, I'm going to recognize you are no more. You are just as fallible as I am. And if God and see, because I'm praying for you ahead of time, I know that whatever your struggles are, I may have some that may be similar or different. But the fact that I know that I'm not perfect, I can recognize that before I judge you.
Wow.
So maybe before we start judging folk, we ought to make sure we're at least praying for people first.
Wow.
Because it's a paradigm shift, because now I'm looking at this person in a different light.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at them how Jesus looks at us.
Imperfect.
God, come on now.
But in need of Christ every moment, every hour.
That's it.
You know what's so spectacular about it? And I'm sitting here and two quick things happened while you were having that conversation. The Lord quickly reminded me of here's how we ought to be responsible as being an example. Here's the other thing that I told him. I said, you know what? And continue to pray that I am the sort of leader that Christ was to his disciples.
Come on. Come on.
And so when you said that, I quickly remembered that Christ had a conversation with one of his disciples, and here's what he said.
Come on.
The devil desires to sift you as wheat. But watch what he says. Watch what Christ said.
Yeah.
He says, but I prayed for you personally.
See?
You know, because I know the devil is busy, and I know he's going to set a snare for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, and after you recover from this thing.
After.
Look, because you're going to go through. I want you to go and strengthen the rest of your brothers. Now, here's the mistake that most people made. Like you said, nobody's praying, but you're supposed to be my brother or my sister in Christ.
My God.
Now, watch what God tells him when he gives the prophecy to Edom, where he says in the book of Obadiah, he says that while you knew the enemy was coming for your brothers, you stood there and you did nothing. It was almost like you helped plot and gave them entrance so that your people could be taken over.
That's called an accessory.
Now watch, God said, look, because you did this, the same folk that you were rooting for to overtake your brother are going to be the same people
that enslave you. Wow. That's
be careful. That's why David always said, look, when the devil has set a snare or his enemies has set a snare for him, he said, look, God has always called that same snare to be set for themselves.
That's
you don't pray for people's downfall. And when you fail to pray for people's downfall, we've neglected our responsibility, as he asked him in the garden, are you your brother's keeper? But anyway, still, you know what happened yesterday is still resonating.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm able to kind of remember that is because I barbecued earlier and I can still smell the smoke on me even after I showered.
Wow, come on now.
You know what I mean?
Come on now.
So,
come on now.
And that's when you know that God was in the play.
When you brought up the whole matter of him talking to Peter, and I like the fact that you said, you know, when you recover.
Yeah.
That's what the scripture says, when you recover. I think we tend to forget that you're still going to have to go through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said two things. He said this thing. He says, because I prayed for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, so watch this. He says, that means that I prayed for you so that when you do disappoint me.
When you do fall short.
When you do fall short. Because Jesus knew when you go and you deny me, because I know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And I know your brothers are probably going to judge you. The ones who step to be standing there with you in the crowd, they're going to hear you deny me. So they're going to look at you funny. But see, I'm the one you're denying is praying for you.
Yes, sir.
Ooh,
yes,
my
sir.
God. That just did something for
that
myself.
Your faith fail you not. Does not mean that your faith is not going to be attacked, because it will be.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's because I know that you will have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, he said, look, it's going to remove a mountain. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring you out of that low place.
Man, that's
so
whew.
You know, it's
man, that is awesome. I think that's something. Now, see, that'll preach. Let me say that seriously, because I think a lot of times congregations don't recognize this is where the power of prayer and the reasons why we pray need to be broken down more contextually.
Yes, sir.
Because we're always talking about, well, y'all just need to pray. But see, it's easy to say that, but if you don't give me any context. So if you took this moment in Scripture with Jesus and Peter, him, because this all happened prior to Peter's denial, okay? And then you use both examples. We talked about this before, maybe even over a year ago. The two examples of Peter and Judas.
Right.
The two examples of Peter and Judas. Now, the difference is the Bible does not tell us whether or not Jesus prayed for Judas. Now, we have to assume he was one of his apostles, that he did.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference is Judas never stuck around for redemption. He never stuck around to be restored, because let's look at it this way. Judas sold out Peter, sold out Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Peter denied Jesus. Is there really any difference in the two?
Hmm.
I mean, when you think about it, he sold him out, and then Judas tried to go back and give the money back. Say, because see, that was his conscience.
That guilt, man.
That guilt was on the inside. But again, you see what I'm saying? So when you see this type of thing happen, Peter got the chance to be restored because Jesus told him, and I'm sure at some point in Peter's mind, that's why Peter, when resurrection happened, and he was like, where's Pete? Go tell Peter. That's what Jesus said when he was talking. Go make sure you tell Peter.
And it was extremely clear that Christ knew that, because remember, he asked the question, who do men say that I am?
Yeah.
Peter was the person to respond with the answer. So Peter is the same person we see who is catapulted into ministry, being the lead apostle, bringing this gospel message to the rest of the Jewish nation and everything else. So God knew, man, this is going to be the person, you know, who set it off after the day of Pentecost, who really, I mean, even on the day of Pentecost, because he was ministering then, you know, he knew that Peter would be this person, but he also knew who? The adversary very well, too.
Yeah, let me explain something, because when you started talking about this, I instantly, shows you how the Holy Ghost works. Mm. Conviction will set in when you know you're not doing something.
Wow.
Conviction will set in when you know you're not doing something. A lot of our leaders that we are displeased with, you have to ask yourself, are you praying for them?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
And it's funny that you said it, because this is confirmation of something that came up in Bible study on last Wednesday.
Wow.
We talked about the lack of action from leadership. We were talking about that. And one of the things was said was, this was my comment to the teacher. I said, what happens, because we were talking about prayer. And I said, you know, they were talking about, you know, we need to pray. And I said, okay, but here is the scenario. What happens when it's 10 people in the room, 9 people can see what needs to be done, but the leader does not. And I said, are we supposed to be silent? Mm. Well, he says, no. He says, but you never try to overthrow leadership. But you have to pray harder for them. My God. And because of what you just said, that just lets me know conviction.
Yes, sir.
So I got to work on me. Y'all pray for me. Please pray for me.
That's why we talk about next steps a lot.
Yes.
It is a real observation of ourselves. It shows both strength and weakness.
Yes.
Right. And so that's where we are. And we say, look, God, we see in this mirror that you showed us that we may have a problem with our tongue. We may have a problem with our thoughts. And Lord, this is our next step. We are earnestly praying, Lord, that you would grab a hold of our tongue.
Man.
You know what I mean? And it's funny, because remember the other week it was me, you, and one of the deacons here.
That's true.
And he asked me a specific question.
That's true.
And what did I say to him?
The same thing.
I said, this is where it's going to have to start.
Yeah.
And I'm telling
it's
you,
in prayer.
When it starts there and the people are on one accord, God is going to do some amazing things. And even if there are people in positions who don't want to move, guess what God has the ability to do?
Yeah, move them.
He can still get purpose accomplished.
That's true.
Even if people decide not to move out of the way.
My God.
So
that's
I'm excited about. The power of prayer to bring people together. And that's going to be even the change for this city. Here's what has to happen. We just can't get 100 churches on the doing 100 blocks only on the west side of Chicago.
Yeah.
We need north, south, east, and west to come outside, to be present in our communities, to let the people know that we're going to love you with the love of Christ. We're going to love you out of the hell that you in.
My.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to love you through your difficult moments. We're going to love you through your circumstances. We're going to love you until the love of God is shown present in your heart. Until you are a person who says, look, I see the glory and the presence of the Lord. Man, and that's a work. We never know.
We getting comments. Sister Angela Johnson, she was just on live a few minutes ago. She hosts the radio show. I just invited her to come on with us, and she just sent me her information. So, I can't wait to have her on. But she just said, people need to stop being offended with laymen. She says, there's a time to pray, which is without ceasing. But please communicate with folks, too.
I agree. Let people know what you're doing. That way that they can support you, they can get on board, because there's strength in numbers. That's the Bible. That it declares that.
Yeah.
Here's one of the great things I love, and here's how we have to look at leadership. Remember, Moses had to go on top of the mountain,
yeah.
And the Israelites, they were fighting the Amalekites or
yeah.
whatever.
Huh?
But Aaron and the guy named Ur was on the top
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when Moses' arms got tired, there were two leaders side by side, so that when his arms went down, Israel began to lose the battle.
Mm, come on now.
So what that says to me is that we've got to be, as leaders, helping other leaders keep their hands lifted.
Ooh, my God. Hey!
So that we can start winning the battle here in this city, man.
And
that's what it's going to take for some people who are willing to step out in the forefront, and those who may not agree with them in doctrine, we can believe with them for one thing, that we're here to change the city for Christ.
Yes, yes, I love it. That's my
we ain't got to argue baptism. We ain't got to argue. We don't have to argue the gift of speaking in tongues. Only thing we need to teach is Christ and Him crucified, resurrected, Him ascended on the right hand of the Father. And people have the ability to come to God through the grace of what Christ has already done. That's the real message. It is not about our gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about the spiritual gifts. It's not about the baptism. It's not about the doctrine that you're teaching. It is about Christ and Him crucified. And when we can get to that place, man, people going to begin to start to see the church fall on one accord. We just got to get back to the central message. Stop fighting over things that are not getting people into heaven.
Man,
those things to me are not getting people into heaven. No, you know. So,
I am. It's saddening, but it's also it's sad. I get sad and excited at the same time. I get sad because the numbers are so few, but I get excited because I can see the potential.
Yeah,
and it just and I said this, and I mentioned this Wednesday. We were out. You know, with George Beatty and the crew, we were out there on Wednesday on Central, and you know, and it was at about maybe four churches were out there with him, and so George is out there, you know, with the hot dogs and the popcorn machine and all this other stuff he got going on, and snowballs and water and music, and so we out there deep on the corner, and all I kept thinking was, I was grateful to be out there. So let me not say that, because I don't like to say, just sound ungrateful for being out there. I was grateful for being out there, but then I thought about what would happen if the three churches turned into six churches.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because then what would happen if we could take somebody like George? George could then teach somebody else to do what he's doing. And then we'd have a George Beatty on the south side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd teach somebody else. We'd be able to spread George throughout the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could put those people on different corners doing the exact same thing, same vision, same mission, everybody out doing the exact same thing, winning people to Christ. We were out there on Wednesday. We had eight people give their lives to Christ on Madison and Central.
Yeah, yeah.
Random strangers who just came up because they was like, we had, you know, people coming up, man. One guy was like, how much do the hot dogs cost? Like, bro, they don't cost nothing. Well, no, they got to call something. No, bro, just get you one.
Just get you a dog.
And can y'all pray for me? Absolutely.
Mm.
And we so busy trying to maintain and hold on to our little few folk.
Mm.
And that's God can't put nothing in your hand if you holding tight to the little stuff you got already.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
You got to be willing to lose everything. Come on, somebody. You got to be willing to lose everything to gain what God has for you. And if you're so busy trying to count every penny, every dime, or I'm sorry, let me get this right, every member, because you're afraid, well, if they go out and they hear him speak, they might not come back. What difference do it make as long as they stay Christ? They don't belong to you no way.
Not your
ain't your members. Ain't your sheep. I hate you. That's one of the first things I've heard. Pastor, well, my sheep know my voice. It ain't your voice, Doc.
Oh, see, yeah.
See, that's when you know it's some me kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, my sheep know my voice. No, Negro, they ain't your sheep. Ain't never been your sheep. Okay, let me get myself. Let me stop.
You know, for a person to take a stance like that,
yeah.
You know, you're clearly standing in a dangerous place, because look at what God did when Satan tried to say what he was going to do and how he wanted to take God's glory.
Come on.
Be careful now, because God could make you a Nebuchadnezzar.
See?
I mean, look, I don't care how powerful you was. The only reason you were so great is because I allowed you to be that great.
Mm-hmm.
And I used you as an example to my people and to punish them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But don't ever think
you're greater than.
No. Remember what Christ tell them? The servant is never greater than who? The master. The student is never greater than the master. And so those things, you know, they never change. That's why we always have to be in a place, you know, where. What's most important, too, is if we get back, here's why Jesus emphasized the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He, even as you talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
the truth in worshiping God.
Come on.
He, you know, those who worship God him in spirit and in truth.
Come on.
And he had to make it so clear that everything that you guys were doing prior to me showing up, you did it wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So here I am to replant you back into God's kingdom real.
Come on.
You know, from your prayer life to the way you give.
Yes.
That's why we got people doing $50 lines, $100 lines, $1,000 lines. That is out of order.
Yeah.
It is not even biblical. Look, Christ even talked about it.
Mm.
When you give, it should be given secretly.
Yeah.
It should not be a public display.
Come on.
And so once we get back to that place, man, I believe truly with all my heart, now God comes in. He does the work for us.
Mm.
He does the work in us. And then he begins to do the work through us, because now we begin to touch the lives of others. But we cannot get there if we're all showing up with masks on. This is not a masquerade party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to take the mask off, because nobody wants to really look in the mirror.
Well, see, it's easier to deal with Devon and his issues than to focus on my own. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's easy for me to point out everything that you're not doing, because see, the more I focus on what you're not doing, I don't have to worry about the mess that I leave behind every day. Mm. Or it's easier for me to point out how unhappy you are versus me, that, because you see, if I'm focused on your unhappiness, then I can mask my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we miss. Sometimes we miss the mark because we don't recognize, we refuse to show our vulnerability to people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one thing about that, there are those pastors who don't have a problem with showing you where they come from, their daily struggle. Mm-hmm. Because see, if you can show me your because if all I see is you in the pulpit with your nice robe on and you shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues, if that's all I see, then yes, I appreciate the word you give, but I can never relate to you. Watch this. And I could be wrong. I might get myself in trouble. Let's go to the garden. The garden.
Okay.
So Jesus is praying, right? And he told the disciples, y'all watch and pray with me, you know, and they went to sleep. And while he's praying, in the midst of his praying, he's suffering in the process, because he knows what's about to come down the line. It's right around the corner. And now he's recognizing it, and he understands his humanity is telling him it's about that time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's struggling. So he comes back to the disciples, and wakes them up, and you got to believe that they saw the pain and anguish on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, they've been with the most powerful man in the world for the last few days,
mm-hmm.
or the last 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So they recognize who he is. Now they're seeing him in a moment of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So when I can see you there, now it takes you from this pedestal, and it puts you right where I am. But the difference is, I see you struggling like me, but then I see you coming through it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I never can see you struggle, if I never see you suffer, thus the cross.
Yeah.
The cross now.
Yeah.
If I never see you struggle, and then I see you come out of it, in his case, 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of us, we never allow people to see us struggle. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't mean everybody needs to see you. Because,
yeah.
See, some folk waiting to see you struggle.
Okay.
Because, see, they don't expect you to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's why, you know, if I and those of you y'all who know me, some of y'all know me very, very well, some of y'all just know me. Only these people mm-hmm. will ever know that I because let me tell you why, because there's so many waiting for you to mess up. So see, this little group right here, I know it's prayer coming from right here.
Yes, sir.
I know it's prayer coming from here. These ancillary people, mm-hmm. it's not that I don't appreciate you, but I don't know how much prayer is coming. So that's why Jesus only rolled with 12, Doc.
Yeah. And
he only rolled with 12.
I love that because one of the things is we see too in Christ, look, when we start to look at his example and his role in leadership towards his disciples, we see his struggle, and he's open to the struggle because now oftentimes he struggled in his prayers, but when he came back to his disciples, he was still strong in what he was asking them to do. But we don't ever see Christ ever try to mask who he was.
Even near death, watch this, he was still leading. When he looked down and told mother, behold your son, woman, behold your, he was still leading. He was still setting up the next set of ministry. He was still leading while dying. Wow. That's he was leading while dying.
Yeah. When you going through a lot, and we just see Christ, you know, and he kept it, as we would say, he kept it 100 with his disciples, you know.
Absolutely.
There was no time where the disciples weren't confident in his leadership ability.
Exactly.
Now, whether or not they had faith in God.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, and I love that because he always pointed them back to who?
Uh-huh.
Back to the Father.
Never to him.
Never.
Never to himself.
Why call any man good except the Father?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I see that, I see the example of a great leader,
mm-hmm.
somebody who understands my role is not to be the Father here.
Mm-hmm.
My role is to come as the Son here and to point people back to the person that they have been missing in their practices.
Yes,
that's back to him. And that's our role. Our role is exactly that of Christ. We won't go that same lane he went down, and we won't, you know, our destiny is not the cross. But guess what we have to do? We have to carry a cross.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that cross reminds us that what Christ did, he died on the cross. And the cross says this: we simply die daily.
And make sure it's your cross and not somebody else's.
I wouldn't want to carry two.
Because we have a habit of letting other people put their mess on our back.
Oh.
See, Jesus, come on now, I don't mean to be funny, but Jesus paid it all. I ain't got no business carrying your cross. That's not my assignment. And a lot of times people will put stuff on you that God never intended for you to carry, but yet you walk around for years carrying somebody else's mess.
Yeah.
Because for some reason we feel this in Christendom, if I could use that word.
Uh-oh.
In Christendom, we have a habit of obligating ourselves in areas that we were never called to be in. So sometimes, and it happens a lot from leadership, leadership will take stuff, watch this now, that they can't carry. And come on now, because watch this. If God didn't call you to carry it, then you were never supposed to. But you pick it up anywhere along the way. And because you were never qualified, equipped, or called to carry it,
uh-oh,
you turn around and give it to somebody else to do.
Yeah.
Now that it's no longer on you, you don't care the outcome of the person who's now carrying it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
If we take the walk of Golgotha, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we take Jesus and who's my man that helped him out? Was it Simon, the guy who picked up the cross for Jesus? Well, I can't even think of his name. Somebody help me, y'all watching this thing. Y'all know my mind is bad. Y'all know my mind is bad. Who's the brother that picked up the cross? You know, it helped him with the, I can't think of his name. But here is the deal. I do not, thank you, what's Simon?
Simon
thank you, Angela, what's Simon? Simon
the
Cyrenian.
Right?
Simon the Cyrenian, I believe.
Yeah.
It was Simon, who picked up the cross and carried it for Jesus. I refuse to believe that when Simon picked up that cross and helped them carry it all the way to the end of that spot where they needed to go, that Jesus did not along the way make sure he paid attention to what was happening with Simon. Because this is the thing I loved about it. This was what made the Passion of the Christ so realistic.
Yeah.
When that scene happened in that particular depiction, you notice that the soldiers, while Simon was trying to help Jesus carry him and Jesus the cross to the hill, they were still whipping.
Yeah.
And Simon was taking a lash or two along the way.
Yeah.
So he was in the process of doing. Think about it. Jesus didn't call him to help pick him up.
Mm-mm.
The soldiers made him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Simon went on about his way after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say it was divine intervention. You can say whatever you want.
I love that because even in that.
We're going to get there regardless.
Yeah. Because even in that, we can see and we can take that illustration and say, look, when your leader is at his weakest point.
Come on, somebody.
And it doesn't seem like he's going to be able to carry
come
his
on,
cross
somebody.
Any longer.
Come on, somebody.
He needs somebody that has been following him to help pick him up and to push him to get to where God is taking him.
Come on, somebody.
But
come
it
on.
Takes a special someone to be able to say, look, even though you've called me out, I'm not going to refuse. I'm going to do it because I already knew who I'm serving.
Y'all pray for
you know?
Me. Y'all better pray for me. Please pray for me because my God.
I'll
give me some water.
Man. It's just absolutely amazing
that we start to
see, you know, the Bible come to life and a lot of things that as we grow, here's one thing that we do know as we grow.
Yes.
Is that some of the things that we may have been really zealous for, we come to find out, just like Paul found out, that, look, hey, I may have had this thing just a little bit wrong, but my heart was in the right place. And because God knows that there are people who have their hearts in the right place, that they're diligently seeking him, that they honestly and authentically want to worship and have a relationship with God, God opens up that door. God says, look, well, I'll bring you, just like, you know, people who assisted those in the New Testament where he says, look, we're going to show you a more excellent way of doing it. And so when we see stuff like that start to happen, we see that we know that God has spoken to our hearts. And to me, that's the real key. Like what you said, look, okay, God, obviously in our conversation today, the Lord is speaking to your heart.
Man.
You know, he's sharing some things with you. He's probably even doing some flashback moments.
This was not part of today. This is not part of the scheduled broadcast for today. I just want to go on record and say that. It really is not. It just ain't part of the scheduled
just
broadcast.
Just unscripted.
We are, and let me, because I know we've been on doing this for a while now. We are on Facebook Live, obviously, because I see all y'all up there watching and the comments is flowing. I can't even keep up with Facebook Live. I'm grateful for you all. We're on Facebook Live. Ustream is up. All the different mediums are up and running, and it is just amazing. Because I am honestly, seriously, I have to sit back now and go and look in the mirror and point back at myself and say, are you praying enough?
Wow.
For that particular situation and for those people.
Yes, sir.
Because it's easy to pick out, you know, people who know me, they know how my mind works. My mind works like. You see the problem, you find the solution, and then fix it.
And then you fix it, yeah.
That's the way my brain works. Y'all, the stuff that happens with this radio show, if something goes wrong in this studio, he can tell you, LaTanya can tell you, all of them tell you, if something breaks today, it's fixed tomorrow, because I can't work with stuff.
Yeah.
I have to recognize that I don't know if it was a gift or a curse, but whatever it is, I recognize that that's how I operate. But then I cannot put that on other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? We have kindred spirits, though, as you can tell. we're very systematic and stuff that we do.
Yeah.
And we just, things have to be a certain way. That's just,
it's all,
if you've ever heard me talk about food and the presentation of food, then you already know, you know. But I love what you just said. And if people have not gotten this book, man, and I know you've ordered it already, Dr. Larry Gilbert, Your Gift.
Yeah.
It's about your spiritual gifts. And he hits on that same thing, just like he hits on the point where he says that if you're in the wrong place and you are trying to minister out of a gift God did not give you, if you're operating in an office that God did not give you, he said you are on your way to not only just destroying where you're supposed to be going, but you're destroying those who are around you.
You're destroying where you at.
You know what I mean?
Ooh, and my God.
And that's
help me,
one of those things, man, that we have to take serious is that we have to make sure that we're in the right place.
Oh, my God.
You know, not only are we in the right place, but are we doing what we're supposed to be doing while we're in that place? It means nothing to sign up for a membership and pay the membership but never work out for the benefits of having the membership. It just makes no sense at all. Cancel the membership and do what you've been doing, not showing up to the gym to work out.
You might as
but
well.
But as a Christian, guess what God has called us to do? He says that it is for us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is not, you know, if you so choose to, God has commanded that. And so when you look at your life, if you've been 15 or 20 years in, everybody, not just you, should be able to see that God has done something with you, but the people who are around you should be able to see it too.
That, can we talk?
Yes.
I mean, we live. We got folk listening, watching all over the world. Let me say. There ought to be some, in the words of one of my, you know, favorite deacons, there ought to be some fruit. When you've been in a position, and let me say this, all fruit ain't good fruit.
Watch out.
Watch this now. There ought to be some evidence of your leadership. And evidence could be good or bad.
And ugly. In some
cases. So if you are leading, there ought to be some positive evidence to show that this is what happened under your leadership.
I agree.
Also, if you have not been leading the way you should, there's going to be some negative evidence or some condemning evidence to show this is what happened while under your quote unquote authority. And these things happened while you were leading.
Wow.
And people will see one or the other.
Wow.
The hope is that what you've done, the great things that God has allowed you to accomplish, outweigh those things that you put out there that should not have ever seen the light of day. You said something. If you're operating in an area or in a gifting that God never gave you, the evidence will be overwhelmingly negative to see that you are operating in a position or office that God never called you to. And unfortunately, there are too many preachers operating in the office of pastor that God didn't call them to. And people will say, well, God called. No. I understand you had a vote. I understand there was a committees and all this. I know how these churches work with pulpit committees and all that stuff. I've been through enough of them to know. That doesn't necessarily mean.
It absolutely does not.
That God called you. What it means is that God allowed it to happen. Just like Israel wanted a king. See, God didn't call Saul, did he? Help me. The people, they demanded a king because everybody else had one.
Yeah, so God said, go anoint Saul.
Go ahead.
Go anoint Saul.
God said, I'll allow it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to remember what you asked for.
You've asked for it. That's what he told them. Look, you've asked for it. Now you have to take all that comes with the package.
Exactly.
You know, so if your leader leads y'all the wrong way and he's not, all of you all suffer for it.
Now, mind you, David was going to come regardless. Whether Saul had ever been there or not, because David was part of the plan.
Man.
Saul was just a stopgap. Come on, somebody. Yeah, my God.
Like, I'm going to give you an example of your foolishness. That's what God was saying. I'm going to give you an example of your foolishness and how you have chosen a man over me.
Sometimes you don't get the leader you need. You get the leader you deserve.
Ooh, that's why I tell them,
that will sit with y'all for a while. Sometimes you're going to get the leader you deserve and not the leader you need.
God has a way of getting his people's attention. And I keep saying this, and I mean, it doesn't look like it'll happen, but if you know, who people talking about the Donald Trump thing.
Oh, my God.
If Donald Trump was to take presidency over the United States.
My God.
Guess what?
Man.
Guess what?
That's the,
the sovereignty of God still reigns.
Yeah, my God.
And we've got to see that we need to get back to a place where, you know, the guy who played in The Passion of Christ, what is his name?
Jim Caviezel.
Yeah.
The guy who played Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Caviezel.
He just recently spoke at one of the churches, and he says, look, you know, we here have a privilege to do whatever. But he says we're missing it in America. Christians are.
Yes.
He says that, look, we need to be very sort of thankful that we're in a position to do what we ought to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about, you know, what we want to do. It's what we ought to do. And what we ought to be doing is what? Preaching the gospel, making more disciples. Disciples, making disciples. Not according to, you know, how gifted you are and throwing titles on people.
Yeah.
And I said, it is so funny, the culture between black and white.
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation. I said, you know what? When I meet the average Caucasian brother in ministry, they don't walk up and be like, hey, pastor or bishop, so-and-so.
No.
You know what they do? They call you by your first name.
Right, right.
Hey, Devon.
Right.
Hey, Chris.
Right.
Hey, John. Hey, man, how's it going in ministry? It's not all of that other extra talk we got going on and all of this stuff. It's straight shot. Hey, man, you know, this is happening, and we're masking stuff. We're hiding behind titles, or we're elevating gifts above spiritual fruit.
See, that's why when I that's why I've always been against the whole title thing, because first of all, see, Dana. You know, the name on the birth certificate, or as my great-grandmama say, certificate. The name on my certificate just says Dana King. That's it. There's an L in there because they screwed my middle name up. But it just says Dana King. Dana will mess up. And people who know Dana knows Dana will mess up. Don't put reverend and minister and bishop and all these other names y'all want to give people, because, see, then you don't give me room for error. See what I'm saying? Because when you do that, you don't give people room for error. Now you want to judge because of this title that you hold people to this here standard. Guess what? Don't hold me to a higher standard than you hold yourself.
I agree.
Huh?
And that's why I always tell people, like, when I introduce myself,
man,
I introduce myself based off of the government name my mama gave me. People often say this to me. I didn't know you were so-and-so.
That's good. Exactly.
But you know what?
Exactly.
I knew that if I threw the title out, you would act different.
I'm not going to get real conversation.
I want you to be yourself with me, because guess what? You know, I'm not going to judge you.
Right.
And you don't have to apologize if you drinking, if you smoking,
right,
if you cussing in front of me.
Right.
Because guess what? I've been in either one of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to you is, guess what? It's a process. And guess what? I have to live that life before you, before I start ministering it to you.
Yeah, come on.
So let me be your friend. Let me befriend you first.
Yeah.
Let me build a rapport with you. Let me allow you to learn how to trust me.
Come on.
And now you can start to see this is what this guy is all about.
Exactly.
He's all about God. He's all about Christ. He's all about helping men and women come to know the real true Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not concerned with, you know, I got to walk in the room and, you know, y'all got to stop praying and acknowledge me. That is foolishness. That is foolishness. And, you know, we've taught people to worship man. We've taught people to worship man. We've been prostituting the people in the church, taking all of their money. But that foolishness has to stop. We got people who are charging prices for prophecies. get out of here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I tell you is, if anybody telling you they're going to charge you some money for a prophecy, you stay far away from those people, because I can guarantee you they're playing with witchcraft.
Or just playing.
Tarot cards? You're going to prophesy to me? Based on what? Because when I look at the Old Testament prophets,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They weren't prophesying into people's lives just because they asked for the prophecy.
Come on now.
They were prophesying because after they said in prayer with God, God released them to say what needed to be seen.
And they were prophesying world-changing events. Not
as it related, and look,
come on now.
It was related to it was always related to two things.
Yep.
And if you think I'm lying,
yep.
You go back and read it for yourself.
Come on.
If it existed as it related to a leader, God will share to them either you are doing a good job or you're not, and this is about to happen to you.
That's right.
And then he'll turn around and he'll say, this is for my people. This includes everybody, the people who were doing what they were supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and the people who wasn't. Guess who went into captivity? All of them.
Ooh.
So when we try to separate ourselves and say, well, I'm the good part of what God is doing, and I don't believe that Christians need to suffer, well, you signed up for the wrong Christianity.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that there is a part in it that, look, if you cannot suffer for Christ.
Come on now. Come on.
You can't reign with him either.
Come on. Come on. You, I like that. I've seen that. Somebody was supposed to write back. Like, if you ain't with me at my lowest point.
Man.
If you can't stick with me, rather, in my lowest point, please don't jump on the back of the wagon when I start to get there. Please don't die. Seriously. And that's why, you know, I'm like, I don't care what happens with anything that any ministry that I'm a part of, if it gets down that I am a ride or die type individual.
Yeah.
I'm going until I'm riding until the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And if the wheels fall off, if I cannot put the wheel back on, then I recognize it's time to let it go.
The guy said, "Leave the wheel there."
Right. That's when I'm like, okay, it's time to get off this. You know. But if there is still some forward moving direction, or if I can still see a destination in mind,
yeah,
I'm good. It's when I can no longer see a destination, when I can no longer anything, and even in my prayer and in my faith, in using my spiritual eyes, if I still can't see, I'm like, okay, because see, God will physically not allow me to see some stuff, but spiritually He will say, just keep walking.
Yeah.
But when if God says, hey, bruh. If God says no, there are no more steps for you there, then that's when you need to recognize, and then that's when you need to set pride aside. And, because, see, pride will say, no, man, you don't want to fail.
Yep, yep.
And I believe pride is keeping a lot of people in positions because they don't want to say that they failed.
Mm-hmm.
So people will stay in positions out of pride.
Wow.
Because they'll say, well, God... because this is the problem. Because one, you went someplace you wasn't supposed to, and you put it on God. Mm-hmm. Now, because you're there and it's not working, you'll say, God don't want me to leave. See?
Or God has given me a new assignment.
Yeah.
I made mention of that yesterday. How did God give you a new assignment when you didn't complete the first one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like God telling Jonah,
yeah.
Okay, Jonah, you chose not to fulfill the assignment,
yeah.
So I'm going to redirect you back to the city. I doubt that ever happened.
Yeah, not going to happen.
The same assignment God gave Jonah.
Yeah.
Nowhere do you see the assignment change.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is kind of like where we are with things. And you know where it comes from? It comes from people not being really rooted, people not really knowing that when you signed up for this, you signed up to be attacked. You
mm-hmm.
signed up to be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
You signed up to suffer. All for who?
Yeah.
For Christ.
And you said something about being rooted. That's why that's why you got all these church hoppers. That's why you have people jumping from one church to the next. One ministry to the next, because they have no roots.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it's hard to pack up when you got a lot of roots to dig up. It's hard to separate some stuff when some things are ingrained in you. And if God has assigned you someplace, then you have planted some roots.
Yeah.
And because you planted now roots and trimming are two different things. So you don't cut roots, but you do trim leaves.
Trim leaves, yeah.
Especially some that are dying. Because if you don't, they'll cause other areas to die.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about roads, if you don't know anything about this, is the one thing I remember paying attention to when I was in high school about horticulture. One of the things I learned about roses is when you buy roses, if you've ever bought roses or even a single rose, you notice it has all those extra leaves on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you go and get roses professionally done or order roses, a lot of times they come without those leaves, because once you put those in the water, they will pollute the water, and then that same water ends up hurting the roses.
Mm-hmm.
So they always tell you to prune the roses. You're not doing anything with the actual rosebud.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if the rosebud start, the outer edges of the rosebud start to brown or decay, you don't throw the whole rose away. You just prune the bud. So you just start pulling off some of the dead pieces, and underneath you still have a beautiful rose. The problem is we don't want to throw away anything.
Mm.
We don't want to throw away the dying thing because it's always been there. So we're afraid to throw away stuff, not recognizing that because we don't want to throw away anything, we're allowing the whole bush to die.
Wow.
So, I really wish we would get to a point. I shouldn't say wish. I'm praying, and I'm about to pray a lot harder, I guess. I really pray that we get to a point where we don't continue to hold on to dead things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dead things. Because if anything dead, after a while, is going to start to stink. And then it's going to start to decay, and then create disease, and then disease starts to spread to other viable areas of the body.
Yeah, that's true.
There are cancer is dead cells. They are dead cells, and those dead cells attach themselves to living cells, and if you don't get rid of it, it spreads.
Hmm.
That happens in the body of Christ.
Hmm.
When you don't remove dead things. And I don't care if it's member, I don't care if it's leadership members, if it's lay members, I don't care if it's folk that's just constantly keeping up. If you, and when I say remove, I don't mean put out,
right?
But it means to set down, to put to the side, because otherwise those things can still spread throughout your body, throughout the body. And right now, I think that's part of what's going on in the church. And I'm not individual. I'm talking about the church proper, the church body, the body of Christ, is that we've allowed too many dead things to continue to flourish.
Wow.
And because we have, and because we don't address them, and now they've gotten huge. Now we have this huge cancerous lesion on the body, and now it's gotten to a part of the body that we feel like, well, if we don't keep it, we're going to be in trouble. So we just keep chemoing it, using chemotherapy versus cutting it out.
Wow.
You know, because the way gangrene works is gangrene sets in, and if you don't cut off that finger, then you'll lose a whole hand or a whole arm.
Hmm.
But if I have sacrificed a few fingers.
Oh, yeah. To keep that
to
arm.
To keep my arm. And if that's what I need to do, come on.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you went back and you said something about how members, the whole church hopping thing that continues to take place in the body.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things is, I mean, there are just several things happening.
Yeah.
For some people, they've never really got rooted in Christ, period.
Mm-hmm.
Others, they've still been searching for what they would call the perfect church.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's others who deal with church hurt and things like that. And so they probably can't trust another leader or a preacher. And so, you know, they try to go places and try to really chase and experience the good part of that experience. The bad part of the experience they no longer want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they see signs of what looks like what happened when things started to fold in some other place, places that they were in, they bail out. Here's the thing about that is that here's what we have to do.
Mm.
Here's what you have to teach people when they show up at your church.
Okay.
You teach them, if God is not speaking to your heart, speaking to you, and he has flat out shared and laid upon your heart to join this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God says he wants you to be there and he has assigned you there, he has not assigned you there to be a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
But God has assigned you there to be a supporter, somebody who is going to engage in the thrusting and the progressiveness of your ministry, the
mm-hmm.
growth
mm-hmm.
and the development of ministry. So God has strategically spoken to your heart because apparently there is a need there at that church, and God is giving you the gift
mm.
to meet the need of that church and to help move it forward.
Yeah.
So when we look at when people start signing up, I want you to sign up because the Holy Spirit spoke to you today.
Yeah.
And it was him who wants to place you into the kingdom and the family of God for his purpose and his purpose alone.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the preacher, outside of your cousin, your auntie, and whoever else wanted you to sign up for church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe if God gets a hold of your heart,
yeah, yeah,
you can hear him.
Yeah.
You'll stay rooted off of that conviction.
Yes, yes, God. Yeah.
Off
yeah,
of that conviction,
yeah.
You'll stay rooted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll know exactly. If you spend that extra time, you'll know, and God will show you why he wanted you there in that ministry. He doesn't want you there so that you can take over the ministry. He brought you there to be an intricate part of that ministry. Intricate part of that ministry. And you know, and in some roles, some of us are David in Saul's situation.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What does that mean? That means that you've got to wait till your time comes.
Yeah.
God has already anointed you to be the king.
Ooh, Lord.
But God has to deal with Saul first.
My.
And it won't happen until the invasion has happened. Will you be able to go and be on the throne and take your place where God has already purposed you to be?
My.
So until then, be faithful.
Yeah.
But don't be faithful to anybody who isn't following Christ.
That's now. See now.
No, absolutely
now,
not.
Now you took me back to. I think I took this off of your page earlier this week, or you shared it with somebody else. It's an Andy Stanley post.
Yeah.
It said leaders who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say. And I saw that, and I said, wow, I instantly shared it. I thought it was absolutely like one of the most poignant quotes that I've ever seen in my whole life. Leaders who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say. Now, that's an Andy Stanley special.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Wow.
Man, look, I know – As just being a young leader up
mm-hmm.
and coming,
yeah.
that I need help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I glean from my brother. I glean from people who I know who I can trust,
mm-hmm.
who will be honest with me,
mm-hmm.
who won't sugarcoat it with me and be like, you know, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
No, it does not work like that, you know. And I know that these guys are praying for me. We're praying for each other, and we're praying for other leaders.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
You know, when we talk about this, man, as I often say to those who worship with me on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
look, even though we don't like Rauner, even though you don't like Rahm Emanuel,
pray for him.
Guess what? The Bible declares that we're supposed to pray for our governmental leaders. Those who are in authority. The Bible declares that as being a Christian,
mm-hmm.
it is your duty to pray for them. Why? Because if we pray for them, he said, look, that we might live
mm-hmm.
peaceable lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if everybody's complaining, nobody's praying, God can't move.
My. Oh man, this has blessed me. I don't know about y'all listening and watching wherever y'all at. This has blessed me. This has been this is not what I expected, but I am glad about
me
it.
Me either.
I am glad about it. I mean, we actually had a good article and it'll be there. I'm not extending the time. We got 15 minutes. We gonna be all right.
Yes, sir.
I just thought that this was amazing. I mean, seriously, because
you might have to spend the time now.
I mean,
we never
fine.
Even got to where kingdom. What happened with kingdom?
Kingdom.
How was church on Sunday?
Sunday was good. Sunday was good. Reverend King preached because
okay,
he was passing
okay.
on vacation. So Reverend King preached too. He come out of Revelations chapter one. Was it chapter two? Revelation chapter one, dealing with the letter to no, because there wasn't no letters. Wait, he was dealing with Revelations, and his title of his sermon was stop trying to get in where you don't fit in. That was the title of his and he talked about this is when Paul was on Pergamos.
Oh, John.
John, I'm sorry. Sir. When John was on Pergamos, but something easy to write to the Church of Pergamum. But it was, but he talked about that, and it was good, man. He was good. He went a little long, though.
That was Pastor. He
went. Now Pastor on vacation, remember? So he wasn't here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's on. He's in Florida, family reunion stuff.
Okay.
So, but man.
He's right in there. He's talking about the letters to the seven churches.
And it was the third one. The third letter he was focused on. He kind of stayed right there with the third letter. So, yeah, it was good, man. It was good.
That's good stuff, man, because I plan on preaching a sermon series on all seven churches.
So then it was first Sunday. So, of course, we did communion.
Okay.
And,
you guys handled that, right?
Oh, yeah, we handled it. But let me put this out there for the people. We might be going to hell because they did communion the wrong way. Yeah, I saw the tray get passed with the left hand, and the top was taken off with the right hand. And then, you know, the deacons on this side started in the back where they were supposed to, and then worked their way forward, and the deacons on this side started in the front.
Wow.
And went to the back. So I think the rapture might be coming because it wasn't. Yeah.
Wow.
But King did a great job. He ran it and he did two baptisms yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So we did two baptisms. What else was it? I'm trying to think. It was something else. I can't even remember now. But yeah, so it was good, man. It was good. We had a good time. It was a good time yesterday. Praise and worship was ridiculous.
Wow.
Yesterday, you know, we normally go for about 15 minutes or so. I looked up. It was 11:42. Had just got out of work. Man, I mean, and I shouldn't say got out of worship, but that's how it flowed.
Yeah.
How it flowed. So it was amazing. It was absolutely good, you know.
Wow.
Plus, you know, yesterday was my first day back in the pulpit, so you know.
Hot off the press.
Right, yesterday was my first day back in.
Off the press.
Yeah, it was my first day back in. So
man.
You know.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, man. We had on, you know, we was all white robed up yesterday, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
White robed up. Yeah, so you
nice.
It was good, man. It was fun. It was good. It was a good day.
I did not wear a robe. I'm sorry. I'm gonna be in
you
trouble.
You didn't take your robe though, right? You do have it, right?
I have
you
it.
Because you wore it to your thing.
But they told me I didn't need it.
Right, but
like,
you
okay,
did have it
okay,
though.
Yeah.
So you okay? You do. I have to make sure it wasn't laying around somewhere.
Yeah.
I remember you getting it. I thought you had.
I was like, I don't see how this works in the scheme of NOC.
Nah.
Me wearing
the,
this.
The deal
robe.
Is, you take it, and if you're asked to speak at a church where they wear robes, you have one.
Be like, okay, I got a little robe.
Yeah, because they'll ask you. They'll be like, well, do you have a robe? Because I know if you go to First Baptist and preach, they'll give you a robe.
Can I get a nice-looking robe?
Oh, they're going to give
you
one.
One made?
They're going to give you
just
one.
Just in case I end up in a traditional setting.
Get
I need one with
the... I want the Cossack. That's what that is. I want me one of them. One of them Cossack robes with the belt thing and
man with the
and the low,
the
with
big
the big
bow.
Cuffs. Yeah.
Man, I think I would go in just because I'm wearing the garment of praise.
Man, with the and then you get the cape that you put on afterwards because they put that around you afterwards. You don't wear the whole thing. I've seen people wear the whole thing. You're supposed to wear the whole thing while you preach.
They put the whole thing on. I mean, they put the cape on. Afterwards,
they put that on afterwards when you sit down because they figure you're sweating. So it's to, you know, to put around you to keep you, you know, like you see pastors put, you know, you see pastors put towels around them after that because you're sweating.
Look,
so, you know.
Thank God. I don't sweat.
You don't want a cake?
Preaching in the pool.
I want a cake, boss. I need a cake.
See, because you're going to sweat. Though.
I need a cake.
I don't sweat.
As a matter of fact, I want a long cake.
It's called sweat.
Can I get a long cake? like a train.
He's just come in there, just man.
Said
about 7 feet long.
You know how they have people at the weddings carrying the bride's what is it called? Her train.
Yeah.
I want a cape that when I walk in the pulpit, look, my Look, all of my ministers in training and deacons in training will be my cake bearers.
Your first assignment, carry the cape.
Man, you just get it. Y'all get a hold of the cape in the back. Just make sure it does not drag
the
floor as I enter.
Hey, let me know.
Down the center aisle. That's when you come in down. Every Sunday, you come in and you just be blessed. You know, I was stupid yesterday, so, you know, we had on the white, all the white, so, you know, because we had on the white with the red. We have the red sash around the white.
I haven't seen the white one.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
We had the white one with the red sash. So, you know, of course, I had on my...
Did you wear that red?
You know I did. You know I was in there. So I came in, and I was walking in, you know, praise. He was sitting on the front row, so they was looking. You know, I came in, I gave them the Pope wave.
Bless
you. You know, I did. On the slide, you know, because there wasn't nobody really looking. I was like, I want y'all to know y'all blessed over there, y'all.
Wow.
I still get.
Wow.
I gave him a little bit, you know.
That's too funny.
I need me one of them scepters that let the holy water out.
You just be throwing up.
Man, I'm going to get me some of that. I'm going to get me one of them. I need Tanya. Could you look up?
I think those things are expensive.
Oh, they might not be in the budget. That's what you're trying to say. Could you look up them scepter things that throw the water? I don't know what they call. But I need.
Because I think they're metal or something.
They are. They're like,
oh, yeah. They charge you.
They're probably gold or something. Well, gold plated. Can I get one? It could be plastic. I know the budget's a little tight. So can we. And you could paint it. No, you said okay. But your eyes can be a little, you know. Just give me something. And then I need one of them ones with the incense, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got the lamp with the incense. I need, man, I want to, if you're going to go, bro, you got to go all the way. I'm going to be, look, the incense swinging on this side and tossing water as I come in. Just.
Bearing gifts.
Man, myrrh. Can we get some frankincense? Can we?
Done.
Can you still? Does frankincense still exist, or is it no longer? Is it no longer possible to get?
Wow.
She jasmine. She says jasmine incense. I can get some jasmine.
Uh-oh.
Jasmine. See, she be on it. Jasmine incense. Can I get? Yeah. Can we get some of that? That way, next time you have me over, I'm gonna wear it. I'm gonna. Your people going to be like, who is this? It's not the same Negro that was over here before.
He's been elevated.
Right. I'm just every
he went to another level. Another anointing.
I'm just saying. I want to come in with, you know, with the holy water stuff and, yeah, just all that. I always thought that was like the Catholic people. They go all the way in.
I mean, the ritual. Down.
They come with like the throwing of the you know, the water and the all of that, the frankincense and myrrh. Where can we buy some myrrh?
Man, that is something. That is something.
Oh, I like to have fun.
Yeah,
y'all know I'm just kidding. I ain't trying to put on all that stuff.
It's good to be back in the studio, man. Because I was out last week, man. I was having some.
Yeah, bad. Bro. Because you was having some. Well, you were hurting on Monday, remember?
Yeah.
And then you said, you know. So did you? Yeah. Let me guess. You didn't go to the doctor, did you?
I did.
Oh, you did.
Oh,
well, bless the Lord. Because I was wondering
some
medication,
and some high dosage pain medicine. Yeah, because when I went in, I actually went into the ER because I was looking up some stuff.
Wow.
And I'm like, I got to make sure this is not my kidney, man.
That's true.
You know,
so
when I went in, my blood pressure was like 138 over 104.
Okay.
So that low number is way too high. And the lady was like, do you have high blood pressure? No, that's how much pain I'm in.
Oh.
Because it affects your blood pressure.
Well, yeah, pain can take your pressure up. So,
so
they did make sure you didn't have high. You,
yeah,
okay, so you don't run, high blood pressure don't run in your family or nothing, do it?
It runs in the family.
Oh.
But, you know, I've
you've
always
never,
watched
you've always
it and I've been kind of,
okay,
yeah.
Got you.
And if I had to go to the doctor and they told me it was too high, they could change your diet, and I did it, and it went back to normal. So I watch what I eat.
Okay.
So,
okay. That's good. That's good.
So it's great to be back in the studio. I had missed a couple of days of work too. I'm
wow.
Yeah, man. In pain. Wake up is like a knot.
Well, no.
So I'm like, hey,
I need checking to make sure I'm good.
I'm like, I said, not yet, Lord. I ain't done. I said, give me at least 80.
His assignment is not yet over.
At least 80, Lord. So it's just it's amazing to be healthy, you mm-hmm. know, to thank God to be here, man. And
so we, yeah, that is good, man. That is good. That's wonderful. So what's the plans for the rest of the day?
Rest of the day plans.
I know you cooked, so y'all gonna eat at some point, right?
Yeah, when we get back to the crib, we're going to hang out with my brother and family for a little bit. We were going to do some other stuff, but had to change around some plans. But then just go back home and start working on some the rest of the material because you know I'm so in awe of what God is showing me about Christ and how God had been replanting the people of Israel and ushering in a spiritual Israel, which was the church.
Yeah, I am still like working on this men's ministry stuff. It is it is like really in my head right now.
Okay.
So I every time I get something, I start typing it out. Matter of fact, Wednesday, because I was the only one here, Wednesday. Friday. Because you didn't come Friday, right? So I was in Friday. I was still in here typing Friday, working afterwards, because I'm like, I just had to, you know, I had to get it out, because if I don't, I'll lose it, because there's no way my mind work, it ain't going to stay long. So so I have this stuff that I'm like trying to put together and get ready for that. Then I'm constantly going over these, I got this wedding coming up at the end of July. So I'm constantly going over the you know, all the information is in the file. What I didn't know, so you know you have that 5-star book, right?
Okay.
It has the vows and stuff in it, or the how to conduct a ceremony.
Right.
There's like 5 different versions.
Okay.
In there.
And your minister's manual.
Yeah. And the 5-star, it's not 5-star. The star book.
The star book. Yeah.
I'm thinking of getting the 5-star church mixed up with the other thing.
Yeah.
In the star book.
There's a long version. There's kind of a short version.
Right.
There's
right.
a version where it takes out, you know, the presentation of rings.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
And so that's
so I usually let them pick which version.
What I asked them when I met. I've been meeting with a couple.
Nice.
And I had to do that. I've been meeting with the couple, and they agreed on which version that they wanted and everything. So I was kind of cool with it. I'm cool with what they want to do. Should be pretty simple. I think it's gonna be fun, man. So what I'm doing is I want to get it and print it out. I'm gonna need I don't want to be doing it from my tablet because I don't want to look too informal, even though it's on the ship. You know, it's in the middle of the water. It's gonna get married on the Spirit of Chicago.
Nice.
Or the Odyssey, one of them.
Okay.
But we're going to be doing that, and so I want to get. I think I want to buy like a nice binder. So I'm gonna retype. We'll be like print out the stuff, so that way I have a nice binder with their vows in it, and maybe even just give that to them after I'm done to say here, because I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know? You know.
Yeah, that'd be great. You
put something nice in, like some kind of little leather bound something
nice.
That I could probably use. So I'll figure that out. But yeah, so I'm excited about that. Getting ready for that. Real quick before we get off the air. Did you hear the news before you came in?
No.
About Kevin Durant?
No.
Signed with the Golden State Warriors? Yeah, I didn't. I'm driving in the car and I'm like, is this a joke? KD.
He want it for real.
Here is my only issue. Y'all better dog him like y'all dog LeBron for going to Miami. Because, see, the Miami team was
OKC with Durant's team, right?
Yes, and they was up 3-1 on the Warriors, remember? 3-1. Y'all better dog Durant like y'all dog LeBron. And y'all know I'm not a LeBron fan, but however, y'all better dog Durant. Because when LeBron went to Miami to play with D-Wade and Bosch, I understand D-Wade, but D-Wade was, you know, and Bosch has never been that. But where KD just went? You talk about a stacked team.
They do.
Come on, dude. I'm like, really? Anyway, Father God, I just had to get to that. Father God, we thank you for the time that we've had today. God, we thank you for all those who listen. God, I thank you for the comments and the positive comments that we had from Facebook Live and everything else. I hope I didn't miss any emails because I didn't even open it. But God, we thank you for those who participated in today's show. God, we thank you for every listener and all the time that they spend listening to us. God, we thank you for the continued blessings that you've bestowed upon this show and this broadcast and everyone that is a part of it. God, we thank you for each and every member of this TTLO team. Mm-hmm. God, we ask that you will continue to bless them and prosper them, God, in whatever it is that they are doing. If it be in your will, we ask that you will continue to do that. God, I thank you for my brother here in ministry and for the family at the NOC Church. We thank you for what you are doing for them, God, and God, we ask that you continue to strengthen them for what's about to come, God, because they're going to need everything they have to hold what it is you have for them. So, God, we thank you for them. And then, God, we just thank you for everybody else. We thank you for Kingdom Baptist Church. We thank you for this Austin community. God, we ask that this weekend you would continue to put your hedge of protection around this community and this city of Chicago and this state, God. And, God, we thank you even for our governor right now, God. We thank you for them coming to some sort of a happy medium, God, with the budget that was just passed. So, God, we just thank you. We lift your name. We bless your name, God. We pray for all leaders who you have appointed, God. We pray for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so look at y'all. Go get y'all some barbecue. In the words of the good pastor, Cardinal Michael Bernard Henderson, get you some barbecue meat today. Get you some of the barbecued meat. Get you some of the hot links, some chicken, the pork meat, the beef meat, and chicken meat. Whatever kind of meat it is that you prefer on your griddle and grill, I prefer you go and get it, and if you do it right, you won't need no sauce, bless the Lord. I just thank y'all for that, and I'm going to go find me some if I have to cook me some myself, which I'm thinking about doing a little bit. I'm tired right now, though. I need to go lay down. Yeah. So anyway, y'all stay blessed, man. Look, we will be back on Wednesday. I should find out who's going to be in here Wednesday with me because I know you ain't here, and the good Cardinals in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
So maybe one of my new possible friends will be joining us on Wednesday for Wisdom Wednesday. But in the meantime, it is the city of Chicago. It is the 4th of July weekend. Keep your head on a swivel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
TTLO, y'all be blessed, man. Y'all stay.
And you've got to believe in me.